Welcome to Words of Life, Love, and Freedom. I'm your host, Paul McKibben, and I'm going to be sharing today about waiting on the Lord. This episode is titled Waiting on You, talking about waiting on the Lord. So I'm going to jump right into the poetry that I'm going to share on this episode first. It's titled Waiting on You. Oh God, I thank you for your never-ending love, and I praise your holy name. You truly are an awesome and mighty God. You're loving and compassionate. You're an unchanging God and always the same. Dear Lord, I will love, honor, and serve you. You are the one that I want to see. I'm waiting on you. My King, you are wonderful and magnificent. Your love brings me joy and peace. You fill me with your Spirit. Oh God, I lean on you, and I know your Spirit will get me through. Oh God, the joy that your Spirit brings so makes my heart sing. I'm waiting on you. My King, I let your Spirit come in and rule and reign in my life. Through your Spirit, my life has been transformed, and your Spirit renews my mind. Behold, I am being made new. Dear Lord, I praise you this day. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting for a move of your Spirit as I walk in freedom. You gave me wings like an eagle. I spread them and into the wind I flew. Oh God, I'm waiting on you, and I won't turn back. I serve such an awesome and amazing God. My God, surely you are not slack. Oh God, you're a God that does not operate in the existence of time. You are such a compassionate God, mighty in power, and your love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness is truly sublime. Dear Lord, I'm waiting on you, and I'm seeking your holy face. I give your Spirit control of my life. Your Spirit leads and guides me and takes me from place to place. My King, you are the one that I want to spend time with. I'm waiting on you. You fill me with your love. O God, your Spirit envelops me and saturates me through and through. I praise you, Almighty God. And I'm waiting on you. I will love and honor you all of my days. Always keep me by your side, and never cast me away, whatever you do. O God, as you continually make me new, I'm waiting on you. Dear Lord, continue to shape and mold me and fill me with your Spirit through and through. Praise God. So, as I'm sharing about this particular piece of poetry and the scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart to share with this episode, I'm going to be talking about the importance of waiting on the Lord. You know, some people are all about being busy and going and doing. And that's all good. You know, there's a time when we're to be busy and go and do what the Lord has called us to do. But then there's also a time when we need to wait on the Lord. And usually we find ourselves waiting on the Lord if we are contemplating a decision about something that usually pertains to something that we're getting ready to go and do, or a venture that we're contemplating. And while we're in prayer about it and we're contemplating and thinking and praying on what it is the Lord's going to have us do, sometimes we find ourselves waiting on the Lord until we have that peace of mind. Or sometimes we never get that peace of mind, and we know that we're not supposed to go and do it that moment, right then and there. That's one of the times that we've got to stay and wait on the Lord. And it's real important for us to know, we got to have discernment to know when we are to go and do and when we're to stay and wait on the Lord. Sometimes we, as people, can miss some wonderful opportunities of just basking in the Lord's presence, entering into the Lord's rest, and being able to really enjoy the Lord pouring his love and joy and peace over us. And a lot of people don't know what it's like to enjoy the Lord's love, joy, and peace, because they don't take the time to smell the flowers. They don't take the time to wait on the Lord until the Lord tells them to go and do something. They just think they got to go and do and just stay busy. But you know, the enemy is all about doing anything and everything he can to keep us from doing what the Lord has us to do. And sometimes we can actually be... Sometimes we can actually think we're yielding to the Lord and doing what we should be, but by being busy, busy, busy all the time and just going and doing, the enemy has us doing exactly what he wants us to do, because we're not taking the time to enjoy where the Lord has us. We need to enjoy where the Lord has us as we go from step to step, from place to place. And not always be busy, busy, busy. I mean, look at the story about Mary and Martha. Mary was all about the Lord's business. She stayed and waited on the Lord. She loved on the Lord and spent time with him. And Martha was all busy, busy, busy in the house, trying to go and do everything that she could. And I believe she got a little frustrated with Mary. How can you go and just sit and wait on the Lord when there's things that need to be done? There's the attitude that Martha had. And she had to be corrected. You know, that was the wrong attitude to have. When it comes to the Lord, sometimes we have to stay and wait on the Lord for him to tell us to move forward and go do what it is that we are contemplating doing. Because sometimes it's more important to wait on the Lord and spend time with him than it is to go and do something. Now, I really cherish my time with the Lord in the mornings when I'm listening to my soaking music and I'm praying and meditating and I'm writing my inspirational poetry. That is like my time with the Lord. And it's usually in early morning hours, not always, but usually it is. And I really enjoy that time that I have with the Lord. And I wouldn't trade that time for anything, because that's where me and the Lord really connect. And I've been learning to wait on him. Through all this time, I've been writing inspirational poetry. The Lord's been teaching me to wait on him and to listen for his voice. Which these are real important things that we need to know. To wait on the Lord and to listen to his voice, those are two key things that we need to, as believers, to be able to do. And we should always be tuned into the Holy Spirit. We should always be tuned into the Lord to know when he's talking to us and when he's telling us to do things or when he has us in that spot where we just need to stay and wait on him. So I'm going to start getting into some scriptures now. I've talked enough about that, but I'm going to get into some scriptures and explain some things. So first, I'm going to be going to Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. It says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I decided to use these scriptures to help explain the poetry, because I was talking about waiting on the Lord and loving the Lord with all my heart, and how loving God is. That God is a loving and compassionate God, and He's an unchanging God and always the same. So not only was I talking about how loving God is, but in turn, how loving that we should be towards God and everyone else. When it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, these are real important commandments from the Lord. Because if we love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, and we love our neighbors as ourselves, essentially, this, if we could do these two things, this covers all of the Ten Commandments. Because we would be basically abiding by those commandments if we could do these two things. And so, it's real important for us to do these things. It's real important to love the Lord with all of our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves. And if we could do those, then there wouldn't be any issues in the community. There wouldn't be any issues amongst neighbors, amongst even brothers or family members. And we should have a loving, compassionate heart towards all those around us. So I'm going to move on to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which in the poetry I had in there, that you're an unchanging God and always the same. You're loving and compassionate. You're an unchanging God and always the same. I was prompted to write that in the poetry because that's one of God's wonderful characteristics. He's not some frivolous God that's always changing his mind about things. He's always the same. Now, people view him that he was different in the Old Testament than he is in the New Testament. But the only reason why people view him that way is because the Old Testament is him looking at believers through the lens of their sinful nature. In the New Testament, the Lord looks at his children, his believers, through the blood of Jesus. Since Jesus Christ had atoned for our sins and was given as the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, it covers all sin. If we accept that, of course, there are people that reject what the Lord has done for them. And those are the ones that don't receive forgiveness of sins and don't receive eternal life. But if we accept that, then we can have the remission of sins. We can have forgiveness of sins, and we can abide with our Lord in heaven eternally. Have salvation, eternal life. So God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is a wonderful characteristic about the Lord. The fact that he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm going to go on to Psalms chapter 25, verse 5. Which says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. And this is another picture of the Lord leading us in his truth and teaching us. He is the God of our salvation, and we should be willing to wait on him. Lord knows that he has been so patient on waiting on all of us trifling people and all of us hard-headed, stubborn people like myself when I was out there doing whatever it was I was doing when I was not serving the Lord because I didn't want nothing to do with God and I didn't want to hear what Christian people had to say. There was many times that I just turned my back on God. I rejected God. And what did he do? He stood there and he waited. The Lord waited on me until I finally got my heart softened up enough where I said, you know what, Lord, I want you in my life. I'm tired of being out in the cold. I'm tired of not living for you, of always living a miserable life, making my own decisions, which were not good decisions, and it always wound me up in worse shape than what I started. So it's real important for us to know that when we think about how much we have rejected the Lord over time and how much the Lord has waited on us, we should be willing enough to wait on him. Because I know that the Lord has waited on me way more than I've ever had to wait on him. And that's just a known fact. It seems like at times that it may take a long time waiting on the Lord, but that's just simply because we want everything like fast food. We want it yesterday, and it doesn't always happen like yesterday. We need to be willing to accept the fact that sometimes things aren't going to happen the way that we want them to happen, and it's going to happen in God's timing, which is not exactly in sync with our timing. We tend to be impatient at times. And so we need to learn patience. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. So I'm going to move on to Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, this is the part of the poetry when I was coming up with these scriptures where I was looking up some scriptures that talked about joy and peace. And it says in this verse that in your presence is fullness of joy. You know, the Lord, when I spend time with the Lord in the morning hours and he's pouring his love and joy and peace over me, that's the well that gets filled up with the Holy Spirit that's in my life that I find myself so frequently writing about is the Lord's love, joy, and peace. And that is an awesome place to be, because when you're so full of God's love, joy, and peace, He wants us to be so full of His love, joy, and peace that it overflows like a cup running over. And it spills out onto all those around us, and it becomes contagious. You know, the Lord wants us to share His love, joy, and peace that He gives us with others. So I'm going to move on to Psalms chapter 51, verse 12. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." And this is still talking about the joy of the Lord. The joy of your salvation, of His salvation, the joy that His salvation brings us, and being upheld by His generous spirit. So I'm going to move on to Psalms chapter 29, verse 11. "The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." And this is a scripture that plainly says that the Lord will bless His people with peace. And that is an awesome promise that the Lord does give to His people. So when we abide in Him and we're surrendered to Him and we are yielded to God and we're trying to do what's right and do as He would have us to do, He will give us peace. There was a time in my life when my life was so chaotic and so crazy that I couldn't stand the way my life was going. And every moment there was always something happening in my life that to me seemed almost like a tragic situation. But it was just the tragedy of the life that I lived. And I'm not talking about tragic like somebody dying. I'm talking about it was a life-shaking experience at times dealing with the things that I had to deal with, between the drugs and being in bad relationships and just everything that was involved in my life at that time in my life when I was not serving God. It was a burden on me, all the things that I had negative that were going on in my life. And it really was a work of the Lord that He got a hold of me and turned my life around the way He did, to where I could finally start fulfilling who He has called me to be. Listen to the Lord and be willing to do the things that He has had for me to do. And so those are just a few of the things that I'm going to share about that. So I'm going to move on to Psalms chapter 34, verse 14. "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." One thing that I will say, since this is getting into some plain language here, when it says depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it, there are so many people that I used to know that did not live right. Like me, I wasn't living right at one time in my life. And I did all kinds of things that was against what the Lord would have wanted me to do. And I was doing basically evil. And when you do evil and you do things that's against God's word, against things that the Lord would have us to do, you're going to experience chaos in your life. You're going to experience distractions and disruptions and hindrances and obstacles that are going to keep you from where God wants you to be. But if you get right with the Lord and you're surrendered to God and you're yielded to God and you try with all your heart to love God with all your might and try to do what's right, the Lord knows your heart. And when we are trying to do what's right and we are serving God, there's a better chance that we're going to experience peace instead of chaos. And I'll take any chance I can get when it comes to having peace in my life over chaos. My chaotic life that I used to live was a hindrance to me. It was a burden. It was a bondage. And it took me a while to get out of that lifestyle. But finally, the Lord set me free from it because I yielded to Him. When it says in this verse, seek peace and pursue it, seeking peace becomes natural when you want to do what's right. When you want to do what's right and you want to serve God with all your heart, it's only going to come natural to want to seek peace and pursue it. Psalms chapter 119, verse 165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Like I said, this stumbling that you're talking about, these are the hindrances that are in the way because we're not serving God. But when we are experiencing God's peace from serving the Lord, that peace will be more fulfilling than the chaotic chaos that we used to experience in our life. In 2 Timothy chapter 12, verse 2, it says, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. So this is a real important verse because this is talking about enduring to the end. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. But then it says, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. So this is talking about, are we going to be ashamed of the Lord to the point to where we're going to deny Him? We need to do everything in our power, everything we can, to not deny the Lord, to not be ashamed of the Lord, because Lord knows that He's not ashamed of us. If He was ashamed of us, He wouldn't have died on the cross for us. So we need to be willing to stand up for what's right. We need to be willing to stand up for the Lord and not be ashamed of Him, not deny Him, and not act like we don't know who God is when people start talking bad, talking God and talking bad about Christians. We should stand up for what's right. I'm not saying pick a fight or anything, but we need to stand up for what's right. Christians have been silent entirely too long. And we need, as believers, to stand our ground and to stand up for what's right, to stand up for what's right in the sight of the Lord, according to His word and what His Spirit tells us. So I'm going to move on now to a couple of my favorite verses. This is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise God. You know, that's what the Lord wants for us to do, is to present ourselves, to present our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice. You know that when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him, that it becomes a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord when we are doing these things out of love for God. And the Lord does view that as holy and acceptable. And it's really important to not be conformed to this world, but to let His Spirit transform us and renew our mind, so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I can't say enough about these verses. These are a couple of my favorite verses, but to not be conformed to this world, that basically goes against the idea of just going with the flow. Some people just talk about going with the flow, not rocking the boat, not stirring up the water too much. Well, you know, sometimes you got to rock the boat and you got to stir the water up a little bit, or you're just going to be like every other average Joe Blow that does not serve God, that has absolutely no significance spiritually in their life at all. And I'm not saying people are insignificant. I'm talking about when we act as sinful people and not serving God and acting like just the average person that does not serve God, does not love God, we're acting in a way that is insignificant in the sight of the Lord. We are called and chosen to be a God-fearing people. And everybody is born for a specific reason, and that reason is to serve God. To serve God and to praise God. And these are the things that the Lord has created us to do, to serve Him and praise Him. And when we don't do what the Lord has called us to do, we are not fulfilling the call that is on our life. And there's, you know, this is just a basic floor plan or basic plan of what the Lord wants us to do. This is what all people are called to do, what we're created for. But He has tasks and He has plans for everyone's life. And everybody has a different plan for their life, different things going on. And we are to do our best to yield to God, to surrender to the Lord, listen to His Holy Spirit when His Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, and directing our lives, so we will better know how to serve Him and how to better fulfill our destiny and His plan for our life. So, to make it a little more understandable, when we are not being conformed to this world, but we are letting the Holy Spirit transform us and renew our minds, we're going to be yielded to the Lord in a way to where we will be able to serve Him at a better, more fuller capacity than if we were not yielded to God, or if we were one of these wishy-washy Christians that says they're a Christian and they may go to church once in a while, but they really, outside of the church walls, they're not really doing their best to serve God and set an example of the way a Christian should live. I know when I was younger, I didn't like to hear talk like that. I would be like, "Oh, well, you just stepped on my toes. How could you say something like that?" Well, it was It felt like my toes were being stepped on because I was that person that was not setting an example of the way a Christian should live. I called myself a Christian because I went to church when I was a kid. But then when the rubber meets the road, I was not living like a Christian because I truly wasn't even saved at that point. And I didn't know it. I didn't realize that till later when I was in jail for messing up and getting in trouble on some drug charges and stuff. And I really started evaluating my life, why I was in jail and what my relationship with God was really like. And I started evaluating my life with the Lord. And I started to realize, you know, I really don't think I'm saved. Everybody told me I was when I was a kid because I went before the church and prayed with the pastor and got baptized. But I didn't really understand what it meant to be a Christian. I didn't really understand what it meant to actually have a relationship with God. I just thought that's what kids my age did to be part of a church. So I went up and prayed with the pastor, and I was baptized. And everybody told me I was saved, and I believed I was for years. Even when I became a stubborn, hard-headed teenager and started drinking and doing drugs, and then I cut church out of my life totally. But it wasn't until I was in my 20s when I was in jail on a drug charge, and I realized that, hey, I really don't think I'm saved, because I'm evaluating now why I went and prayed with the pastor and was baptized, and my motive wasn't right. My motive was not right in the sight of the Lord. So those are just some things I had to come to terms with that I had to really evaluate in my life. So know this, folks. The Lord loves you. The Lord has always loved you. Even when you didn't love yourself, the Lord has always loved you. And the Lord knows you better than anybody because He created you. He knew you before you were knit in your mother's womb. It says that in God's Word. And the Lord wants to spend eternity with you. He wants to be with you. So if you're listening to this podcast today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and there's nothing wrong with admitting that you may not know the Lord as your Savior, as your Lord and Savior, or that you aren't a Christian. There's nothing wrong with that. But that can change. In the blink of an eye, if you would just give God a moment of your time. Know that the Lord wants to spend eternity with you. And just say, just repeat this prayer after me if you would like to become a believer in Jesus Christ. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know I've sinned and done wrong. I admit, I know I'm a sinner. And Lord, I believe you died on the cross and you rose the third day, that you died for my sins and rose again. And Lord, I pray that you will forgive me for all of my sins, Lord God. And Lord, I ask you right now if you will come in and into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Let your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwell in me and bring me newness of life. Lord, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for loving me. And Lord God, help me to be a better person. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all these things. I pray these things according to your will. Your will be done as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer right now, then know this, folks. You are in the family of God. Now, it's going to be real important for you to get involved into a church in your community, a good Bible-believing church, a Spirit-filled church, preferably. And if you don't feel that going into a actual church is your fit, at least find some folks to get involved in a Bible study with and get somewhere where they're teaching the word. Don't get me wrong, I do believe that we should assemble in a church, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in church. But I do believe that we do need to assemble with other brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can be strengthened and fellowship with one another, to love one another and help each other out. Don't be like a solo Christian and think you can do this all on your own, because you need to have the family of God with you. So get involved in a church or a Bible study and start reading your Bible. Get you a Bible and start reading the Bible and start making yourself familiar with the scripture and learning scripture, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you his divine revelation. Ask the Lord to reveal his divine revelation to you and his divine wisdom and knowledge. And ask the Lord to give you understanding. So these are some things that I do in my life too. And I think it's good for all of us to ask the Lord for these things. And real quick before I end this podcast, for those of you again that would like to contact me, I do have an email that is specifically only for my podcast. It's basically the abbreviation of the title of my podcast. And the title of my podcast is Words of Life, Love, and Freedom. So it's wollaf.paul.mckibben@gmail.com. So that is my email address for anybody that listens to my podcast. Now, if you have a praise report or a prayer request, or you would like to contact me to let me know if the podcast has meant so much to you, or anything that you would like to say about the podcast, how meaningful it was, or that it was moving, that it may have revealed something to you in your life, or that it gave you that encouragement you needed, anything in particular. And I know that could be dangerous to open it up like that, to let people contact me about whatever, but I'm willing to put out there my email address so people can contact me and let me know how they're being moved by the podcast. So praise God. I do love each and every one of you that listen to the podcast. That's why I do this podcast, because I love the people in our community and the people abroad. And the Lord loves you, and so do I. And I just want to not only love on the lost, the hurt, and the broken people in the community, but just encourage you. I just want to encourage you and let you know that God loves you, and I do too. You're not alone in this battle. God is with you. And I can be with you too if you send a prayer request in and ask me to pray for something in particular. I will be in prayer about these things. So praise God. You have a wonderful day. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.